Blog Talk Radio.
Tune in to the hottest sports talk show.
I've never had it so good, sports radio.
Join us weekdays at 7 p.m. Stories about players and coaches of all levels. We make it easy to talk sports.
Welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Week. Again, we are talking Super Bowl, and tonight we're talking Super Bowl with the experts. And we'll start with my co-host here, David Duck Riley. How are you, sir?
Doing very well, Precious.
Awesome, awesome. I'm not going to do any Mountaineer jokes, Coach, because I think we got some Mountaineers on tonight, so I'm going to keep it to myself, and we'll move right into the show. I was going to ask you how the basketball team was doing, but I'm just going to move right into the show and welcome Jay Hayes and Daryl Talley and John Bunning to the show. Let me open up everybody's mic. Gentlemen, how are you all doing?
We're doing good. Well. How are you?
Good.
Doing good. Doing good. Thank you. Thank you for being on.
Doing just fine down here in Southwest Florida. Nice and warm and toasty.
See, I saw that Orlando area code. See,
that's exactly where I'm at.
I'm here in St. Pete, and it's chilly here.
Well,
cold spell down here in Naples, Florida as well.
How many of you all are headed to the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Zero.
I am watching TV.
Okay. Duck, go ahead and take over.
All right. Okay, first of all, Jay, what's chilly to you in St. Pete?
It's it's not like being back at home, Duck, I can tell you that, but I mean it's cold for here.
I'm getting sorry. I'm asking for a friend. What's the temperature?
Yeah. Seriously.
You want to know how cold it is, man?
47.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
They're over there on the water, so I don't know. It's probably about 40, it's 48 degrees in Orlando.
Okay, yeah. I see. I need to send you guys one a coat.
Hey,
it's 48 degrees
all day.
Think about it. When you come to Florida, to be outside in shorts at night. And 48 degrees for a lot of folks from Florida, it's not very warm.
That's a polite in Naples, Florida. 60.
All right. Let me since you're on here, Tally, what I'd like to talk to you about is share with the audience the perspective of being a pro athlete, playing in the Super Bowl, just some of your experiences and especially it seems like everybody wants tickets, Do you have time to yourself, that type of deal?
You want to take that one or me?
You, Darryl.
The way the ticket game worked was we were prepared weeks in advance. Okay, if we win this playoff game, what we're going to do the next 2 weeks? We were planning that far in advance. So we were planning on what we'd have to do. If this comes up, this is going to happen. This is happening. This happens and this happens. Everything's sort of planned out. How would you say, on a schedule? Where if you win, these are the things you have to do. If you lose, these are the things you're going to have to do. It's just like any other job that you're closing out. You're closing out at the end of a year. And you're trying to win at the end of it. So you're trying to go as far down that road as you can.
Okay. Is that any, I guess the big question is that any time for, do you get any free time
Oh, do we get time? Yes, we had free time before the it's like the first day we got into town for the Super Bowl. You get the first 2 days, and then the third day, I think our families flew in the third day, and then after that, we were locked up. So you get probably during that time, say 3 hours or 2 hours that you get to spend, or maybe go by and say hello to your family for during the day if you're not in meetings and stuff.
Okay, is there any butterflies, you know, before the game? You know, since this is one of the biggest games of the year, your feelings going into the game?
Wow. My feelings going into the game were unlike any other. I mean, our country was at war. We had Black Hawk helicopters flying over the stadium. Whitney Houston sang the national anthem, which I don't think anybody's ever done a better job of it, ever. And I get chill bumps to this day thinking about it because our country's at war. And what else are they doing? We're providing entertainment for the rest of the world to see. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Marv Levy's statement holds true. Because at that point in time, everybody in the world was watching, and we had to play a game. And, yeah, you still get goosebumps to this day thinking about it. But, yes, it's been 30 years ago or 28 years ago. So,
okay.
Yeah, coming up Sunday.
Yeah. Button, same questions, but share it from both as a player and as a coach.
Well, 40 years ago, it was media day for me and the rest of our Eagle teammates. And we went into the Superdome, and we were in full gear, had an hour and a half practice, took our helmets off, and we looked kind of shabby, but we took pictures, this, that, and the other. And as we walked out, the Raiders were coming in to the Superdome. They didn't have helmets. They didn't have pads on. They were going to have a walkthrough practice. We, on the other hand, we thought we were going back to the hotel, and got onto our buses, and there was a box lunch there for us, which we ate on our way over to Tulane University, where we went indoors and re-stretched and had a second practice. That was pretty strange. Okay. But, you know, anytime you're playing in a big game like the Super Bowl, which I was able to do as a player, and then I was to do as a coach, it was a little different because we didn't have the 2 weeks in between the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl when we were with the Eagles. We did have a week to prepare to go down to Atlanta to play against the Tennessee Titans. So that made things a lot more like it was the routine, you know, like we do every week except when we have a bye week. So I think to some degree, I think that was helpful to our team. I think any time that you're playing in a big game like that, whether it's a bowl game as a college player or as a pro player in a NFC or AFC championship game, it's big. And, you know, you want to have a great routine. You want to have great time management. You want to be able to relax a little bit, but it's hard. On game day, I never liked playing night games because it was too long for me to wait. But that game in New Orleans when we played the Raiders, we had beaten them in November. We had 8 sacks on Plunkett, and we went into the Super Bowl 15. We had 4 turnovers to their none. We only had 1 sack. We had a lot of big plays. That's what Oakland does. Oakland likes to block them up, hold them if they can, get away with it, and throw the ball deep. And they had a lot of big plays.
I know the feeling.
Okay. Jay, different question.
Okay.
You are the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. How do you game plan against Brady?
Well, you know, the big thing you have to do is limit them from getting any big plays. I think you got to pressure him. In the past, when I've gone against him when he was younger, you know, we always tried to move him off his spot. He's pretty good, even though he's not a great runner or anything. He did a good job in the pocket of having pocket awareness. But, you know, I've known Tom since he was 15 years old. And, you know, back when I was coaching at Cal Berkeley and he was right down the street in Sarah High School, we were recruited. We came from a camp. And, you know, my area of recruiting was in San Diego, and Akili Smith was in my area, and Tom was in another guy's area. I was recruiting the heck out of Akili because, you know, they both had great arms. They were catcher prospects in Major League Baseball, actually. But the difference was Akili ran a 4.6 and Tom ran a 5.3. And he did that like 2 years in a row at our camp. So we knew like too much about him maybe, and we ended up going after some other quarterbacks instead of Tom, and he ended up going to Michigan, and the rest is history. But I do know in the old days, you know, his arm strength was very good. Now I think it has waned a little bit. It's not what it once was. So watching them this year, pressure him as much as I could and play a lot of man free, to, you know, make sure that, he was under duress and, not having a bunch of time back there. I would play, you try to disguise as much as you could. You know, it's going to be hard to see anything and knows a lot. But, you know, you got to try to not let you know what you're doing until the last second. And, you know, first and foremost, you got to stop the brain, which at times has been very, very good this year. But, you know, Green Bay, they gave up big plays right before the half. It really hurt Green Bay. But, you know, you can't lower your head, and which Green Bay did, you know. But, I would try to, you know, get as much pressure on him as I could so that he wasn't comfortable back there just picking you apart.
Okay. Bunny, the same question, but a little different. Do you scheme to take any one of the skilled people out of the format? Because the reason why I'm saying that is because they got a good running game, they got good receivers, got a good tight end. Can you double anybody?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm not sure if you can, in terms of Tampa doubling anybody on that Kansas City offense. They got so many weapons. And believe me, I think Brady has many more weapons than he's had the last couple of years up in New England. But what I saw from Kansas City's defense early on and throughout the game was a great mixture of pressure, blitzes, zone pressures, man pressures, and then four-man line pressures. They really, really got after the Denver quarterback. He had no chance. Obviously, they couldn't run the football very well. The best runner was probably the quarterback, but he was retreating from the moment the game started. They got after him. Kansas City plays that style of defense against Brady, and I think that's what they need to do, and I think that's what our other guest was saying a moment ago is pressure, is man-to-man. Don't let the ball get thrown over your head. The Green Bay defense was not good because the ball went over their head a couple times, many times. You've got to be able to get after the quarterback. These are the probably the two best quarterbacks playing right now, and it's going to be a fun game to watch. But KC's defense comes out playing like they did against Buffalo, it could be tough on Brady. It could be really tough on him because they don't have the run game that they'd like to have. It's decent, but Tampa's defense has been playing well as well. So it'll be fun to watch.
Okay. Tally, how do we stop Patrick Mahomes? How do we stop him? I mean, you're the defensive coordinator now for Tampa. What are you doing?
I say basically you make Patrick Mahomes beat you from the pocket. I'm going to blitz him and keep him in the pocket because it seems like he has more big plays when he's outside of the pocket or he breaks down the pocket. Once he breaks down the pocket, it's game on because now you're in the playground with him, who's perhaps the best sandlot player we've got in this era. So my thing would be pressuring, but you have to keep him in the pocket. You can't let him get outside. You let him get outside, it's over. That's the way I see it. You keep him inside, and then once you have pressure inside with the inside backers and the tackles, then you start bringing people off the corners and attacking him. But you got to drop defensive linemen too. So it's going to be an interesting game.
Okay, then it moves me over to back to you, Bunny. What do we do with those receivers and tight ends?
Kelce is a handful. He seems to get open all the time. I think he's really a master at finding the hole in zone coverage. So there are different defenses that you can employ. You can play half man, half zone. You can put a two wild where you put a man on Kelce and have him cover him man to man all over the field unless he runs the flat right now. That's a good way to perhaps work him over some. But they got two, three other receivers. They're fast and dynamic route runners as well. So it's mixing coverage in order to try to slow down. And I agree totally with Daryl. You know, keep that Patrick Mahomes in the pocket. He makes a lot of plays outside. He can run and he can throw on the run. He likes to run to throw. Terrific young player. A lot of fun to watch.
Now, you said, you know, everybody's not we probably got quite a few listeners. You said something, Bunny, about too wild. Can you kind of explain that so people kind of understand what you're talking about?
That's a Vince Tobin defense. Vince Tobin from the Philadelphia / Baltimore Stars played too wild, and I remember myself as an outside backer lining up either on a slot receiver or on a tight end and covering him down the seam or covering him on crossing routes while everybody else dropped into that 2-deep cover with the split safeties and the corners rolled up in the flats. The only time you didn't cover him, you let him go, he ran to the flat, and then you zoned off. So there are, you know, there's combination man-to-man coverages that I've got a great deal of learning from Bud Carson when I coached with the Rams, and we used that exclusively when Mike Jones made that tackle on the 1-yard line to end the game and beat Tennessee. We were in a combination man-to-man coverage. People are really good at that, but you've got to practice it all the time. You've got to with all the open formations, you know, the no back formations. It's hard to double. You can't double everybody. You've got to maybe double one, if you can. You can do that. You got to play some of that. Daryl knows this defense, alert defense, where you drop a safety down in the middle of the field and try.
Somebody's got to sit in the hole.
Yep.
Sit somebody in the hole. Sit somebody in the alley. Take one or two. You got to take somebody away. You play a lot of traps. And when you get, like he was talking, he called it one lurk or whatever. You can bring a guy down, and instead of having him just patrol the middle of the field, make him go after the quarterback or whomever. He can do a lot of things. So it depends on the type of individual doing that.
Quarterback. Darrell, you're right.
So
now,
you can have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Jay, you know, I'm listening to Darrell and John, and I know you're a defensive guy too. Now,
right.
You got AB that's possibly going to play. So,
yeah.
What do you do now against their receivers and tight end? And they got pretty good tight ends too. Talking about Tampa.
Oh, they do. Tampa has a lot of weapons. I one of the things you got to do against them, in my opinion, is just be able to know in parts of the field who they're throwing the ball to. And that's a big thing for them. You know, they're throwing the ball to Chris Godwin pretty much all over the field, but more in the middle of the field. And, you know, Mike Evans and Gronkowski down in the red zone, then you always get sprinkled in there with the guys that you don't expect to do things. But, you know, the guys you really have to stop in their offense are Godwin, Evans, and the tight ends. Gronk in the red zone, Cameron Brate. Sometimes on third downs, they feature him a lot. When I was at Tampa, Cameron was a younger player then. You know, he's in his sixth year now. Is a very good tight end. Unfortunately for O.J. Howard, he is missing. If they had O.J. Howard in this game with Cameron Brate and Gronkowski with all the receivers, I would really have a hard time not favoring the Bucks. But, you know, now that OJ's out, they only really have Gronkowski and Brate that they would throw the ball to as the tight ends. The receivers, it's whoever caught, but Godwin's the guy that they throw him everywhere. Mike Evans, because of his length and kick radius, and real big third downs, they're going to go to him. And definitely, once they get inside the red zone, the ball with tight ends, and you know you have to just be aware that Scotty Miller can get in there at some point and make a big play on you, as will Tyler Johnson. You know, those guys have made plays throughout the year. And, you know, Antonio Brown, from watching everything in the news here, he hadn't really practiced. I don't know if he practiced today, but I know he hadn't practiced last Friday for sure. And, you know, and I don't know if they were saving him to get him ready for the game or what, but he may not be as big a factor just because of the injury. And you know, the fact the guy's 32 years old, you got a knee going on, you know, sometimes that takes a little longer when you're that old.
Okay. Now, what I like to do is switch up, you know, knowing that you guys are defensive guys. Now, let's kind of put the switch hats. Now you're on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm going to start with you, Tally. Kansas City, how do you attack Tampa's defense?
Well, I do the same thing I've been doing all year. you flood the zone high and low, and tell Patrick Mahomes, take your pick of which guy is open, because right now, with what everybody's trying to do, if you try and play man or double one guy, then the other guy kills you. So if you play a lot of match zones and stuff of that nature and a lot of one lurks and traps, guys have got to be able to read and spend time with each other doing that. But, yeah, it's possible to do, but it's going to be hard. I'd say play a lot of traps on them. And, first of all, my thing would be get my hands on the guys at the line of scrimmage. I realize that everybody wants to see the quarterback and everything, but they got 5 yards. At least put your hands on the guy so you got a chance. Everybody's worried about getting beat on the fade or the skinny poke or the skinny seven route. Yeah, you're going to get beat on that one, but you at least can get your hands on the man. You can play at the line a little better. That's just me.
Bunny, you got the offensive head on now. You're attacking Kansas City's defense. How do you attack them?
Number one, I think you better get that front four blocked up. They looked awesome last week against Buffalo. But once again, I think between Spagnuolo, the pressures that he brought early, you know, everybody's watching tape till the day goes by, 24 hours a day they're watching tape. They're trying to prepare for what they've seen. That's going to be very difficult, I think, to make game day, halftime adjustments. You need to be able to figure out, once again, when you play defense or when you play offense, you've got to have great eye control. So you've got to see what's happening so that you can play effectively. And I would say that that Kansas City defense, the way I watched them last week, they're really difficult to play against, and particularly the front four. So that's my feeling on it. Try to be a great tackling team if you can. I mean, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
And I've seen in the playoffs, I've seen better tackling than I've seen all year. So that's a big part of the game plan coming in is running to the ball, getting the ball carrier on the ground, limit the gain.
That's the huge, biggest part of the game today is tackling, because they do not get the guy on the ground. So I don't get a guy to get credit for a lot of the tackles they're getting.
Jay, now
yeah.
you've been in – okay, you've coached in Tampa.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've seen what's going on. How do you, as Kansas City, how do they attack Tampa defense? How would you? You got the offensive head on now.
Well, the issue I think that Kansas City's going to have against Tampa's defense, it goes to what Lund and Darryl were talking about, is the pressure of the front four. Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett have really been playing well the last few weeks. And Kansas City lost both of their starting offensive tackles. So they better be chipping those guys. They better be helping those guys. They better, you know, you can't really slide the line to one or the other. Because they both are very good pass rushers. You know, Barrett, I want to say last year, had like 18 sacks or something. And JPP has been a double-digit sack guy throughout his career, even with the hand injury sustained. You know, they're missing Fisher, who went out last week with an Achilles injury, and they're – the other tackle, Schwartz, was hurt earlier in the year, so they're playing with backups at both offensive tackle positions. And you know, I've heard in the media, you know, the guy that's taking Fisher's place, you know, he says he's not worried about the fact that the JPP doesn't know who he is. They're going to know who he is after this game, I'm going to tell you.
Every first time he snaps, they're going to know what his name is.
They're going to know. His mama's going to know. His auntie, all them. They're going to know that he was going against that man-child out there on the edge. And I don't care if it's Shaq or if it's JPP. You better have somebody helping you, or you're going to be in trouble. And then the issue is, now you got to, maybe chip with Kelsey, and you want Kelsey to go out, or you want to, you got to chip with the backs. Now maybe they'll get in empty and throw the ball quick. I know Brady brings that with him from New England. New England for years always would give you a bunch of different looks. They'd come out and empty and spread you out and throw the ball. And Kansas City will do the same. Andy when he was at the Eagles that used to do that. And so I can see them trying to spread them out and get the ball out of Patrick's hands, which he's really good at. Doing, but if they try to throw some extended drops and don't think that they're going to help those edge rushers, then they're going to be in trouble. Now, they also have Viavea back, who is monster. Now he's a 350-pound. Defensive tackle that can run, and he's not an easy guy to block. He's similar to Chris Jones that Kansas City has in the aspect of taking over a game, and I think he can make some things happen there in the middle, and Ndamukong Suh, if he turns it on, he can be difficult to take care of him. But I see this being on both sides of the ball. The defensive line is going to have a great effect on this game.
Okay, I'm going to stay right with you, Jay, because what I want to know, to me is coaching, special teams, offense, defense. Who wins each four of those? This starts with the coaching. Which coaching staff?
So that's a tough one.
I know that's why I have you, Tally, and Bunning on here.
Okay.
That's a tough question.
Well, I have friends on both staffs, and have respect for both staffs. That one is a toss-up when it comes to the coaches. And talk out of both sides of my mouth. I've just gone against both these guys. I've won against both sides, and I've lost against both sides, and got taught lessons by both sides, I have a hard time just saying that I think that the teams will be well prepared, and it's going to come down to the players, and this is a player league and a player dominated professional football deal. The matchups, if people can take advantage of the matchups, then that's where the game is going to change, in my opinion. I think the coaches will have these guys in position, and now it's going to be who chokes at the end, who makes a mistake, who gets a holding call. When Tampa plays all this man that they play, you guys are all been around Philly and Kevin Ross is one of the deep defensive back coaches for Tampa, and those guys
Rock.
Play some tight ass man. And you know, Rock's got these guys playing. And last week, you know, at the end of the game, they were all over the Packers, and you know, the refs were letting them play. You know, the referees, that's another thing. You know, are they going to let them play, or are they going to want to be famous, you know, on Sunday and get people talking about them? You know, it's better, as my dad used to say, seen and not heard, but not all referees are going to be that way. So if you want me to pick a coaching staff, you know, I'm going to go with the older of the two and go with Bruce, just because I'm getting old, and Andy's my age, but Bruce is really he's like my uncle, so I'm going to go with Bruce.
Okay. Who you give the nod to defensively?
Right now, I would say Tampa.
Okay. How about offensively?
Kansas City.
Special team.
I would say. Just from watching, I would say probably Kansas City gets a little nod over Tampa's just because of the personnel they got to use.
Okay. Right now it looks like 2-2. So,
yeah.
Coach Hayes, who wins the football game?
I think that Tampa's going to get them by – it's going to be really close. It's going to be at the end. You know, it's at home. They're going to have some, you know, the familiarity of being in the same locker room, just being home for the last 2 weeks. You know, Kansas City's not coming here until Saturday. You know that, right?
Right.
You know, so that to me is, I think, pressing it a little bit for this type of a game. I know it's COVID and all that stuff, but to come in on the day before the game or the Super Bowl, I think it's going to have some effect. So I'm going to pick Tampa.
Okay. Bunning, same questions. Let's start off with the coaches. Who you give a nod to?
I have the good fortune of doing 1987 radio broadcasts of Temple football, where Bruce Arians was the head football coach. Todd Bowles was a player, and Nick Rapone, who coaches, I think, the safeties for the Bucks secondary, was a secondary coach. So I'm familiar with their personalities. Really fine people. I admire them a great deal. I admire Andy Reid a lot. One of my former graduate assistants at North Carolina is coaching linebackers out in Kansas City. So I get mixed emotions here. And of course I love Kansas City. Spent 5 years there. I loved coaching there. It was a great place to coach. Their fans are the best. But what interests me and Jay, you're down here in Florida, correct?
Yeah.
So you've seen the reactions and the goings on between Brady and Bruce during this, particularly in the early part of the season and maybe into the mid part. I think Hyde Christensen, who's the quarterback's coach, who, by the way, is
right.
a Tar Heel. I think he's done a wonderful job with Brady. And, you know, there's something, I don't know what it is. I was never a big Patriots fan. I have total respect for Bill Belichick, but I think this breakaway from Brady, from the Patriots, and see what he's done this year and see how he's played the last half of the season. It's exciting. It's really cool. I mean, they were getting on him because he couldn't throw downfield, right? Now he's throwing
right.
downfield. He's making big plays. And I think they've got weapons. They've got a lot of weapons. I think Kansas City may have a few more weapons, and particularly on special teams. That returner, he's awesome. He can make some plays out of nothing. So when I look at the offense versus the Bucs defense, I think Kansas City will hold their own. They'll come up with some big plays. It all comes down to what they can do with pressure. And they've got a good front four themselves as well. The two guys on the edge and Sue in the middle. So I think it's a great matchup. I think it's unfortunate there's going to be no fans there, nor limited fans, I should say. But, you know, the Tampa Bay offense is clicking. The Tampa Bay defense has been playing solid, I think, all season long. So I give it to the team that plays the best. I like the part about the referees. who can make the big plays to start? Who can kind of tilt the game a little bit to start with, and you know, see how much toughness each team has in trying to make a comeback.
Okay, Bunny. I know you're being politically correct, but I need to know who's going to win the game.
I'm going with Tampa.
Okay. All right. Darryl, coaching staff,
yes.
Who are you giving the nod to?
I don't know. They're both excellent coaching staffs from what I understand and what I hear. I will give the coaching staff a toss-up because you know what? Both guys have had to come through a lot of things with a lot of different players. Bruce Arians had to deal with the whole idea of Tom Brady not having an offseason to work on his quarterback, his passing game. That whole thing never got a chance to really mature. Then you look on the other side, you look at Kansas City. They didn't get what everybody calls a Super Bowl hangover. They came back and competed. So, you know, those guys are still playing well. So it's going to be very interesting. Coaches, I give it a toss-up. That's the way I see it, because they can go either way. Both sets of guys have done a good job.
Okay, what about defensively?
Defensively, I have to go with the way I like the way Kansas City's front plays, but the past four or five games, Tampa's played out of their mind defensively. So their defensive backs and their linebackers right now are hitting on all cylinders. That's the scary part about it, this game for me. So, I don't know if Tampa's defensive backs play with the same type of anger as Rock did, because I know they're going to compete. But that's the most formidable offense you want to see. When you think about it, you got Kelce, who nobody stops in the middle of the field because they don't put their hands on him. Then you got Tariq Hill, that'll just blow by everybody. I called him Mr. Indefensible at one point, because anytime they get slots or they put trips on one side, put him on the other side, he's got the whole three quarters of the field to work with, and they just throw the ball up and say, go get it. And they don't have anybody out there that can run with him. The days of having Darryl Green come catch somebody are gone when it comes to him. So, you know, they have a lot of weapons in Kansas City, and the other the young man, number 17, that takes the top off as well. So, and then they've got running backs that can pound the ball at you. And then Kansas City's defense, I just don't like the way that their linebackers play at times. But right now, they're all playing well, so they're both at their pinnacle game.
Okay, well, who would you give the nod to as far as special teams?
I would say that would go to Kansas City. I'd say Kansas City has better special teams.
Okay.
Because
now,
the most important question.
Go ahead.
You had Tariq Hill back there catching the ball. And anytime he catches the ball and has space, it can go the distance. So you have that problem.
Okay.
What was the next
question? Who wins the game, Darrell Talley? Darrell, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm an AFC guy. My heart's with the AFC in this game, but my brain tells me how am I going to go against 10 appearances? It's going to come down to he who makes the least mistakes. Who stumbles at the end?
Okay. I know you're an AFC guy, but I still need a team. Either it's going to be Tampa or Kansas City. It's not going to be a tie.
It may be. You may be the first one in history.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes beats the GOAT. The baby GOAT beats the big GOAT.
Okay. All right. We got two Tampa, one KC. Now, back to you, Bunny. Deshaun Watson. Any feelings about that?
You saw what my old coach said about him, don't you?
What did Dick say?
Dick said they need to change his diapers. We all know everyone.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's see. Jay, you may have been exposed to some free agency. Daryl, I don't know if you were or not. I'm not sure if you made it all the way to that point, but I certainly wasn't. You were owned by those teams, and you can't go any place until your contract runs out. A demand to be traded, I think it's worthwhile. I think it's a publicity thing, and if he can pull it off, terrific. But, hey, he's a great player. The new GM coming in from the Patriots and Bill Belichick style of coaching, I guarantee if he's earnest in what he's saying, he's not going anyplace. He'll have to sit out, and I don't think he wants to do that.
Jay, what you think? What's your feelings on it?
Well, nowadays, like John is saying, I mean, people demand trades, and my first year out of college was in '82, and that was really the start of a little bit of free agency, but these guys.
Strike you in 1982, 57 days out. Yours truly.
Exactly. But I don't get how, they can just come out and say, I'm not going to do this. You got a contract, If people want to pressure on it, you're stuck. So, but then again, you see Stafford got traded this week. He kind of forced his way out of Detroit right away. That shocked me, that they did it so fast. And that now this guy is like, well, I'm going to do it too. So nowadays, it's a different time.
I thought
if you can force it, you can force it, I guess.
All right. What's your thoughts on that, Darrell?
Well, my question was, I don't know exactly what happened, so I can't speak about it, but as far as giving players freedom to do what they want and choose to play for who they would like, when I played in the game, we didn't have that opportunity. So I'm like, more power to you if you can get it done. But I really don't understand the whole situation, so I can't comment on that.
Okay. I'm coming back to you, Bunnan. I hear what Vermeil, what you said Vermeil saying and stuff, but is there not a relationship between your best player and the upper echelon where if you, for instance, Bunnan, if you're a GM and you tell your best player, hey, you know what, we're going to get a new coach in here. I like your opinion, but then you don't get his opinion. You go on and do your own thing, which, you know, he has every right. Does that not kind of cause a rift with the upper echelon and your best player?
I think
no.
This organization.
Hold on, Darryl. You get down, sir.
I'm sorry.
Who's answering?
Go ahead, Bunny.
Me or
Bunny?
Okay,
Bunny.
I'm going to say this: the organization has a long period of time to try to get this straightened out. I think the world of Deshaun Watson. I think he is a great quarterback, and I think he's got lots of charisma. So you want him in your organization. You want him to be the quarterback for your team. So I would do everything I could as an organization and as a new coaching staff to reach out and kind of reel him back in to, you know, April and May, and things are not better. We have always been property, okay? We've always been able to be traded. We've always been able to be cut. Even when our contracts ran out years and years ago when I played, you still couldn't go anyplace. They still had you under contract. So I would work like crazy to get Deshaun Watson back in the fold. And if it doesn't work out, hey, work out a trade. I'm sure you could get a lot for him in return.
Okay. Darryl, 30 seconds. Jay, 30 seconds. We got to end the show for the next group coming in. But go ahead, Darryl, 30 seconds.
They should work it out if they can work it out with him because he's truly a generational-type talent. That's all I have to say about that because I don't know the circumstances.
Okay. Jay.
Guy on your team, he's that type of player. You know, if you can't, then – you know, there's other options, but first things first, get the contract or get him to where he feels comfortable and, you know, and can go forward and build the team and see what you got. But you got to keep that guy in the building. Good players you need.
Okay. Hey, guys, the experts, I appreciate it. I love you guys, man. Have a blessed rest of your time, and I'm going to remember who you put for the Super Bowl, Darryl Talley. So, anyway.
Okay. So, I pick Kansas City.
But I appreciate you guys, man. Hey, look, looking forward to doing this again. Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, Doug, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure being with you, you USFL champ, you.
All right,
thanks. Easy, easy.
Good work.
Yeah. See you guys.
See you now.